Extend Christian greetings to each one. It's a blessing to be here with you tonight. The brethren mentioned it's a cold, windy night to go to church. But, I saw some ski slopes in the way here. They thought it's a good night to go out up in the hills and do that. And so we conclude it's a good night to come to church, even though it is cold and windy. We obey the spirit instead of the flesh. And, we have to conclude that we're becoming pretty soft Christians. We aren't used to going out in the woods at night in the dark to hide, to worship like our forefathers. And our daughter's over in Ukraine. She said the other night, where there's so many bombings, it was really loud because of all the drones flying overhead. And every day, there's a certain time the electric goes off. So we have it so good. And we just have to remind ourselves of that. I need to remind myself of that. I think the title was mentioned. I'll refer to that in a bit. But I'd like to think about power. There's a C-5 transport plane that can lift off the ground with a load of 520 tons. That would be like 10 tractor trailers. And there's that much power that thing can just lift off the ground and fly. Incredible power. The power of electricity. A few days ago, my brother said, "Oh, he needs to butcher a steer." What happened is a 110 wire got against the chain on the back scratcher of his steer, and it put down a 1,200-pound steer. He came in there and saw a commotion, and the steer couldn't get away from it. Just the power. Think about power. I share this to think about power of the Christian woman's veiling. I looked up that word power. There's a lot of definitions I discovered. A couple of them are the ability to act or produce an effect, or the legal or official authority, like the power of the president, or a source of means of supplying energy. We know when someone says, they say the power is off, we know what they're saying. The energy, the electricity is off. But I like to think about that, the power of the Christian woman's veiling. We could say the message and its effect of the Christian woman's veiling. The message and its effect would be my definition of the word power in the title. The Christian woman's veiling is something that mainstream Christianity has largely dropped in the last 100 years. It wasn't always that way, but there's other religions. Gavin told me here a bit ago, he said, well, there's five main religions that do have maintained the covering or some type of veiling. Well, it's interesting that the mainstream Christianity has largely dropped it. And there's even Mennonites that would say that we're out of touch with 21st century issues, and we should just let the covering die its death. There's many Mennonites. We'd have relatives that would tell us that, would they not? But this evening, I'm very glad to be part of a church that believes that 1 Corinthians 11 should be a rule and a guide for us. And it's very imperative that we maintain this practice. And it's also imperative that future generations maintain this and embrace it and practice the teaching of the headship veiling. I think all parents here tonight would say, well, they sure hope that the coming generations, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren would practice this. And we would say, well, what must we do to keep it? Just in part of the introduction here, I would say there's three imperatives. If we're going to keep the veiling, is that we need to stay convinced that the veiling is significant for us today, that that we don't have a choice in it. We can't vote and say, we just don't think we're going to do this anymore. We need to be convinced that it is significant. And also, we need to promote a understanding of 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16. And we, as church leaders, thirdly, church leaders and fathers need to be committed to maintaining a consistent practice of the covering. Sometimes the challenges of the veiling can feed a negative attitude towards it. You know, I hear sometimes, well, it's hard to find a covering maker. And another reason would be, well, seems like someone's always dissatisfied. Your dad thinks the covering's too small, and I think there's too much empty space. So what can happen is there's always some type of stress about the covering. I've had girls. I'm familiar with this type of talk. And you have young girls with a lot of hair, and they just get discouraged with dealing with this day after day. It takes time. You figure it out how long it takes in a week to put hair up. And I'm hoping tonight that our sisters can be encouraged to keep on in the midst of these challenges, and that we brethren are an encouragement, that we fathers and church leaders can somehow bless them and be an encouragement to them. And I would like to say here that, sisters, we appreciate what you do and your faithfulness, and we take it for granted. But I am grieved with those that have lost it. I'm sure that many of us will go to family gatherings, and maybe went to some family gatherings already, and we have relatives that just simply discarded it. Many that have done that, and I can think of some that at one time were in my congregation that I preached to, and today they have dropped the covering, and that is a grief to us. I would like to read 1 Corinthians 11. I'm not planning necessarily an expository of it. I've already preached on this. Had a sermon that I had preached verse by verse. I'll let one of your pastors maybe do that sometime. But I would like to read this and maybe give a few thoughts. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, we could change that word head to superior authority. I would have you know that the superior authority of every man is Christ, and the superior authority of a woman is the man, and the superior authority of Christ is God. Verse 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head, that's his physical head, covered, dishonoreth his head, that's his superior authority, okay? There's two different words there, even though it says head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovereth, dishonoreth her head. Same thing there. You have the physical head and the superior authority, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. And this is talking of the covering, the veiling. That's what let her be covered. It's not talking about her hair. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. And that's a natural covering. That's a different word than what is used up there in verse 6. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. I am going to handle this with pulling out five points on this, zeroing all in on the power of the Christian woman's veiling. And I call them five power points. The first one is what the veiling communicates. We dare never underestimate the power of its communication. What it communicates is much more powerful than what we mentioned, the jets and the trains and the SpaceX, which is tremendous power to put something into space. The Christian woman's veiling, what it communicates is more powerful than that. We like to think about two things that the veiling communicates very powerfully. First of all, it's the acceptance of God's authority structure. We notice that in verse 3 there. I explained that. The head is the superior authority. You know, God is a God of order. We can study that in creation. Creation tells us that. God knows better than anyone how things should function and how things function the best. The Bible clearly teaches the headship order. God, Christ, man, woman. Many times Jesus would say, I've come to do whose will? My Father's will. Not my will, but my Father. He was under his Father, God. God gave job descriptions to Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam was the leader, and Eve was to be the helper. And that was clearly understood. I believe they both appreciated and admired each other's God-given super abilities. Thinking about this, that God didn't bring Eve to Adam and say, nah, Eve's the superintendent. She's going to be the one that's going to tell you what to do. No, it was the other way around. She was the helpmeet. But I believe that they both appreciated that and admired each other's God-given abilities. And we know that Satan has attacked this beautiful arrangement, and he influences the world to say that, well, we're demeaning women, and that is not true. We appreciate our wives and daughters and mothers very much, and they have equal access to God. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 say, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Women have equal access to God. Men don't somehow have an advantage over women and living closer to God. I had this thought that it's very possible that the bishop's wife is living closer to God than the bishop. That's kind of a stunning thought, isn't it? But I believe very accurate and true. While it's kind of startling that we could actually have more sisters living closer to God than the ones over in this side. So they have equal access, and they maybe they're taking their spiritual life more serious than what the men are in their daily grind of life. The Christian woman wearing a veiling is saying, I accept God's authority structure. And she's finding contentment. She is finding joy in being the helper in the garden. She loves it. She enjoys it. And that tonight, brethren and sisters, is very powerful. That is very powerful to have women that are saying that I accept God's authority structure in my life. We're on this first point of what the veiling communicates. Number two of that point is accepting the genders are noticeably different. Even a first grader knows that the two genders, and there's a difference. You know, parents see little boys pushing tractors and making broom noises, and they can do that pretty young. And we see girls that are playing dow. And you can put a dress on a boy, and he's still going to go to that tractor and start making that brooming noise. And it's because he's a boy. He's a boy. And, you know, women wearing a covering are saying, I'm okay being feminine. They're not trying to be masculine. I'm okay with not cutting my hair like a man. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with titles like mailman and taximan and congressman and policeman and fireman. You know, a lot of those titles nowadays have needed to go gender neutral. And that's been a huge change. But it's because of the shift in not accepting that the genders are noticeably different and have different roles to fill in life. And, we need to accept that. You know, the genders are noticeably different, and therefore we have different areas of service. And there could be more said on that. I'm not always sure where the boundaries of that are, but I do appreciate the heritage that we have, that there's some things for men to do and some things that women do. Secondly, thinking of the power of the Christian woman's veiling and what it communicates and so forth is that it's a keystone. And a keystone is a wedge that you put in at the top of a door. Say it's a round stone door, and that middle keystone is what makes it tight. It's at the top of the arch. It makes it solid. It makes it strong. And you take away that keystone, and what happens? Well, other stones start getting wobbly, and they start falling out. And that's how the Christian woman's veiling is. It's a keystone. You take that away, and it's out of the arch of nonconformity, and soon there's other stones that are loosened and that will fall out as well. I had a customer recently, and I was kind of surprised that she was still had a conscience of wearing a little, just a real small little black, we call them a little dually on. She was in pants, and I think she, had cut hair even, I believe, but she still had a little dolly on the top of her head. Some reason she had a conscience yet that she needed to do that. How long she'll keep doing that, I'm not sure. But I will say this, that if we lose the consistent wearing of the covering, it affects other areas. It really does. Because some things just don't fit. You know, to have a two-piece covering like our sisters are wearing that come at the top in front of the ears, and then to come in a sleeveless blouse. See, wow, it just kind of looks weird. It's kind of ridiculous, you know, to wear a sleeveless blouse with that type of large covering. You see, there's things that just don't go together, and it has an effect in other areas. It's not the main reason we do it, but we need to accept that that is a fact, that it is a keystone and has an effect on other practices. Thirdly, is that it's living out God's plan. We're thinking of these PowerPoints on the Christian Women's Veiling. It's living out God's plan. People that live out God's plan today are giving a powerful example. Starlink is amazing, but not as amazing as people living out God's plan. The other Sunday, a brother, just a side thought here, he asked, this new conference out here. I said, I just can't think of the name of it. I said, all I can think of is Starlink. And it's Daystar. So many men and women are taking their place in society, living out God's plan, taking their place in the home. Mothers that enjoy cooking and cleaning and doing the wash day after day. And yet they drive school children, and they do it with smiles on their faces. And they have tough times. They have children that cry. And just takes time. But we have a lot of sisters on these benches that aren't running away from it. They're just plugging away in it. They don't decide to get an apartment in town and say, you know what, I'm just tired of this. I'm going to get an apartment in town and get an easier job. Often if they would do that, they'd probably take their covering off too, wouldn't they? That would go along with that. You know, after thinking of this thought of living out God's plan, thinking on the sisters, you know, after a number of children, one can notice that worn mom look, the interrupted nights of caring for children, and the daytime demands of the household. It takes a toll on her, but you know, she loves her husband, she loves her children, and she keeps plugging away with it. She keeps living out God's plan. And that's very powerful. She keeps living out God's plan because she loves it and she's accepted it. Praise the Lord. Fourthly, because of the angels. We have this reference in verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power in her head because of the angels. The Amplified says, therefore the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head for the sake of the angels. And then it had in quotations, so as to not to offend them. I certainly don't completely understand this. We could ask the question, which angels? In Revelation 12:9, we have a reference to angels. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So often I always thought it's the good angels because of the angels. Well, it doesn't necessarily say that. My understanding is that both God's angels and the devil's angels observe people in life on earth. In fact, I believe there's angels here tonight. And a woman's head covering is a visible declaration that she is submitting to God's plan as a child of His. And that is a very powerful statement to the angels that minister to God's children. And the message that's given to those angels is this person wants to honor God. And it's also to both angels. I think the devil's angels and to God's angels. We're discussing this a little bit here in the van. Gavin asked what I'm preaching on, and he mentioned the thought in Genesis 6 that when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all of which they chose. And the thought was that they were not veiled. And that's a good thought. I believe it says how they were very beautiful, and some of their beauty, I believe, was not veiled. So I believe there's a thought of protection. And I don't believe that, any woman that grabs a covering and puts it on is then going to be protected, that there's some type of thing. I believe it's their life as well, that and that connection, that they're living out that. I'm sure there'd be stories that could be told where that was realized, but we know it hasn't always worked that way. But I do believe that. The question I think we should think about is why would a woman want a covering that's so small that maybe an angel would have to look again to see if there's a covering? That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But the angels notice it and are aware of it. The fifth and last point here is it's simply beautiful. It's simply beautiful. We have something that is very beautiful in a number of ways. And it begins with the beauty that comes by accepting Jesus into our life and heart. Accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ. That surrender to Jesus. And that goes for both sides of the house. We're zeroing in on the covering, but surrender to Jesus and being part of God's family and receiving the new grace-filled nature. That is at the heart of the power of a godly woman, is salvation and living for Jesus and having that new grace-filled nature within. You know, if coverings themselves would transform people, it would be something that we would hand out and try to push on people, wouldn't it? But it doesn't necessarily work that way. So there's something that comes before the covering. And that's really important. Otherwise, a lot of power will be lost if that isn't there. When we say yes to God's design for authority and responsibility, we will willingly accept what God outlines in the Bible. We will say, this is right, this is good, I accept this. I'm not going to fight against it and try to figure out how somehow I can get away from it. Christian men keeping their hair short and uncovered to worship God. Christian women keeping their hair long and uncut and cover their heads. It's very beautiful. And you know why that is? Because it originates with God. That's why. And we say, it's right. It's good. See boys with short hair and girls with uncut hair and combed. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And let's appreciate this teaching that is from the Bible. Appreciate it. And let's be helpers in practicing it. First inside and then outside. God bless you real much as a congregation. May this message be an encouragement to you to keep practicing the word of God. He will honor you and bless you. The Bible says that those that honor the Lord, what will happen? Well, God will honor that. Isn't that wonderful? Let's kneel for prayer.